Okay, now let's kick into our teaching for today. I've been very excited doing this series of teachings, and I've evaluated it, and as the Spirit has been leading, what has been happening is that what most of the things we have been doing has been correcting. Do you understand what I mean? We have been giving proper perspective, all right? Contrary to what sometimes is very popularly held belief. And I was chatting with your brother. I said, well, that if somebody doesn't live in this day and age, all right, he probably will have a problem being very blessed by this series. Now, let me explain what I'm saying. Because if you have not been into the kind of ditch that I'm pulling people out of, it might be difficult for you to really understand what our problem is, some of the things that we are saying. I don't know what I get, what I'm going to explain. So there are some basic teachings that we probably have not done very well, because most of what's happening is that people need to be corrected. Do you understand that? And for that reason, later on, before we finish this series, we have to take a few days and do the proper instruction, all right? Not now trying to correct anybody, but trying to teach properly. So for a few days, I will teach on biblical principles of financial prosperity. I will teach about it, because you see that what I've been doing all this while is trying to explain that a lot of things we do, thinking that's the key to prosperity, is not the key to prosperity. For example, I have explained a number of things. Number one, I said that you cannot sow a seed deliberately towards a particular kind of harvest. You know the interesting thing? Although there was a book I bought, Midas Touch by Kenneth Hagin, I was reading it a few days ago, and I realized that he said that thing. There was a chapter in the book in which he explained, Kenneth E. Hagin said, it is wrong Christian practice to sow a seed towards a particular expected harvest. The man said it's not right. He's saying it or not saying it's not changing my mind. Do you get my point? But at least I was glad to have another person to quote, because there are people who feel like, as someone was telling me the other day, that there are people who say like, if you know so much, why are you not a pastor? Do you understand what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying there? So when I read him say that, I was glad that an older man who has gone ahead of us and taught these things has already shown the church. And he wrote the book years ago. The man died a few years ago. So he wrote the book some years ago. And I'm surprised a lot of people have refused to read some of those things and are still preaching things that are not correct. Now, so having that, that's just an example. So we have already said that you cannot deliberately say, okay, I want a car, so let me go and give a seat towards my car. I don't care how many times it's been said. Like one of my colleagues said, it's also a believer and a teacher of the Bible, said the other day that no matter how many times you said something, if it's wrong, it's still wrong. Do you understand my point? That saying it too many times does not convert it to truth. Do you follow? Now, so that's the thing. But then the problem with when you say things too many times is that it gets reinforced in your heart. You hear so much, it becomes a part of you. Unfortunately, a lie can be a part of somebody. And that's what we are saying should not be the case. And we are trying to correct that. Now, having done a lot of this correction, like I said, okay, how do I prosper? Do I give to a man of God? I said, listen, if you want to prosper, if you need something, ask God for it. Okay? What about, should I give to a man of God? You should give to a man of God. Yes, you should. But for two reasons. Number one, because he's a man of God. We'll talk about that again today. And two, because he has been a blessing to you. That is the first one. He doesn't have to bless you. You can just be blessing other people. And you want to support what he's doing, all right? I said those are the two reasons that the Bible gave us why you give to a prophet. And if you do any of these things, the Bible says that you will get a prophet's reward. And you see, that's one thing about God. He generally do not tell you exactly what the reward will be. He told to Abraham, follow me. He said, walk before me and be perfect, and then I will bless you. Just take that general blessing and walk with it. But as you go on, you will see the manifestation of God's blessings at different points in your life. Please don't forget this. I know I've said it many times, but I can't say it enough because this is so important. The key to the release of God's power in your life is a continual. Please, everybody echo continual. Please, do it for me one more time. Thank you. Is a continual doing of good. Do you get my point? Let me say it to you again. Don't start what you do not intend to continue. Did you hear what I said? If you do not intend to continue something, don't start it. Because the blessing is in the continuity. He said, God is not unrighteous as to forget your work and the love you have shown in that you ministered to the saints, and what? You still do minister. That's Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Do you understand? He said, be followers of them who through faith and patience. Patience is faith continued in. Be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. So if you are not planning to continue something, don't start it. Because the key to reward, he said in Galatians chapter 6, do not be weary of doing good. He said, in due season, you will reap your reward if you do not faint. That is, the time of the reward must meet you still doing the good. Do you get the point? That's why the prophet said, if a man is doing righteously and he stops doing righteously, we will forget the righteousness and only punish him for the wickedness that he did last. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? So that is why you don't do jerk Christianity. You know what I mean? Just an impulsive thing. No, you have to learn to live a constant life. That is what Christianity is. You don't do a jerk. Look, the widow of Zarephath, my good example. Having understood all these principles, that's why I come and I am persuaded that it was not that single offering that she gave to Elijah that gave her a breakthrough. It was a final straw that broke the camel's back. Do you understand my point? Don't forget what I've said again and again. There was something that made God send Elijah from the brook of Cherith to her house. Elijah was not stumbling about looking for where he would stay. Elijah was looking for a particular person. Do you understand my point? So you ask yourself, how come there were many widows in Israel? Like Jesus said, and to none of them was Elijah sent. That is, Elijah was sent. But to that one that was not even in the land of Israel, but one of the neighboring countries around that were suffering with the nation of Israel as a result of the curse that Elijah placed upon the land. There was something about her. Do you follow what I'm saying? And what was that thing? The continual doing of good. Let me review something I said before. I said there are two reasons God brings things into your life. Number one is that you asked for it. Anything you know you need, if God has given you the understanding that you know, so that you know you need something, then what he's saying in effect is that ask me for it. Do you get my point? That is number one. Number two is that everything you do in life has a reward. So when you do good, God looks at that good and uses it to put something into your life as a fruit for good done. Therefore, Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, because you have sent for my necessity once and again. He said, I'm not talking about this because I want plenty. He said, because I am delighted that fruit is accruing to your account. He said, because of these things that you have done, therefore, verse 19, Philippians chapter 4, therefore, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, there's a difference between want and need. Want is what you are aware of that you desire or you think that you need. A need may not even communicate itself with you. Do you understand my point? It may not manifest that you need it. So you cannot even ask for it, but it's something you need. Take health as an example. There are people who are going to doctor every day. And I have typhoid fever. Why? I have, you know, because I took malaria medicine, didn't go. So I have typhoid. Several times they have come to me, you have typhoid fever. Why? I will look and say, you don't have typhoid. Now, they've gone to do tests. And those of you know what I'm talking about, you will laugh. They'll say, you have small typhoid. Oh boy, there's no small typhoid. Though. Typhoid is either there or it is not there. There's no small. I'm talking to you. Listen to me, I'm a specialist. So this is not even just being a pastor. I'm telling you what I know. Typhoid not get small. Either it did or it no did. That funny test people go around doing, they call it Vidas test. That test they go around doing, it doesn't see anything. It's a matter of fact. Anyway, so they come and say, I've gone to do a Vidas test, and they tell me that I have small typhoid. And I will laugh. Oh boy, typhoid not get small. So that the complete dose is not there at all. Now, so this will think they have small typhoid or big typhoid, whatever dose of that they claim they have. And they come and look, they've taken chloramphenicol, peflacin, amoxicillin, all kinds of antibiotics. The typhoid not griggle. Say, my own typhoid is a difficult one. I always laugh. You don't have typhoid. And I ask the person a simple question. Wait. Which work do you do? He will tell me. When last did you take a holiday? Like he didn't work for one whole week or two. Ha! You say, Oga, country, how do man not fit try that one? You see, you don't have typhoid. You lack rest. The human body responds to the absence of rest. It will respond. No, physical fever. You know, I told some of you before, I don't watch football. Part of it being that God hasn't given me the ability to stand the stress that goes with when your team is about to be scored against. When I'm watching touch my body, I literally get a fever. That is, my temperature goes up. I'm talking about need and want. So people sometimes think, all right, that they need something. But actually, that is what they want. That's what has been manifested to them. What is underlying may be different. Please get what I'm trying to explain. And for that reason, you cannot ask for it. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? You can't ask for that which you are not aware of. There's a kind of prayer people pray sometimes. They say, and these are many more other things we ask in Jesus' name. There's nothing like many more other things. You either say it or there's nothing there. If you had that prayer before. They pray and say, then they say, these and many more other things we ask. You see, there's nothing like many more other things. You haven't said anything. Now, that many more other things is what is given into your life as what? A fruit for good that is done. That's what I'm going to explain. So God supplies your need. All your needs he supplies without your asking. And Paul tied it to when people sowed correct fruit and seeds. But I said that seeds, you can kill the seed. You can take a good work and kill it. Because God judges motive. He said, I, the Lord, I test the heart. I see what a man is thinking about when he's doing good. Because if he does what is good for selfish motives, it was dead on arrival. It's like sowing boiled corn. And Jesus said it simply to us. Be careful that you don't do your good openly. Listen, let me tell you the truth. The major good that God will reward you for, interestingly enough, you would not even be aware enough to ask for a reward for it. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say. You won't even know that you need a reward for it. What God rewards you openly for was done in secret. Sometimes it's so secretly done, even you didn't even know it was done. I don't know whether you get my point. Because to you, you may have done something that you think is inconsequential. The one you thought God should give you big reward for, maybe the one that before his eyes, the Bible says that what is highly esteemed before men in his presence of God is what? Lightly esteemed. That's why I said, be careful when you're using the word dangerous seed. There's no dangerous, only God knows the seed that is dangerous. As often as the opportunity is given to you, do good to everybody. That's what the Bible says. Please, you know, we have been discussing that. I just want to summarize everything. That is what gives good reward, though. That is what will not kill your seed. Anything you do, I said something last time, let me say it again. Anything you can, let's say, giving as an example. Anything you cannot give without anybody knowing about it. If you give it publicly, the difference between what you could give privately and what you give publicly, all right? The difference is lost. Let me explain. Let us assume now that this is, we want to do work. Next year, we're making projection for the work of Kingdom World. We want to do TV, radio, and I say, okay, I want to take offering for it. If I say, please, those who want to give to us, please just write it down so that we'll know how much people are expecting, you know, that kind of thing. And you are willing to write down 5,000 naira. But then, let's replay that in that scenario. And I say, Ubang, come forward. Tell everybody, what are you planning to do? It was 5,000 you wanted to do before. But when I now put it in, you suddenly change your mind. Amen. Praise God. This ministry has been a blessing. And I believe this work should go forward. You see all the spiritual talk. At the end of the day, you say, I'm giving 50,000 naira. 45,000 is a waste of money. Listen, as far as your life is concerned, we will enjoy the 45K. We will enjoy them. We will spend it properly. Cosmo FM will thank us for paying them. But you have, Bible says you've received your reward. Already, what your heart was willing to do privately was 5,000, and that is what God will bless you for. Look, you know, those of us who want to collect, we know how to put you on the stage. We know how to put you under pressure. He said, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Who's a cheerful giver? The man who knows what he's doing. And has the right motives for doing it. And listen to this. And doesn't care even if God gives him nothing back. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. The Bible said, do good, expecting nothing in return. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. The man he's doing the good for, he's not expecting any good from the person in return. And let me add it to it, he's not even making a demand of God. I said the knowledge of the law of sowing and reaping is to encourage the good man's heart. It's not supposed to be an incentive for the wicked soul. The good man, doing good can make you get tired. You can give money, we're talking about money, your money, that's the title of my series. You can give money until a time you're just tired. And that's when God said, don't worry, every dime you have given, every money you have spent for the cause of God will be returned to you manifold. It is a harvest. I told you that God doesn't have to give you money back. You get my point? He that shows mercy will obtain mercy. You can show mercy in giving somebody money, and God shows you mercy in delivering you from death. You can show mercy by giving money. We're talking about money. And God shows you mercy by giving you a good husband, a good wife. I'm serious about that. I'm not joking about it. The problem people have had sometimes is that they have some of these experiences in which through many methods, God lets them know that it was because this man did this good that I gave him this kind of reward. So they now say, when you want to get this kind of reward, go and do this kind of good. That's where we've lost it. We have lost it. Because the principle operating the life of each person at a particular point in time is different. In fact, for the fact that you are doing it towards a particular object already shows that you are not working on the same principle that person was working with. Do you understand the point? Now, this is among the things we have said. We're just laying emphasis on them again. And I said that, let me now go into that properly. When we say we are giving to God, how do we really give to God? You know, I've been trying to build up to it. Let me say one thing I said before so that I can connect from there. I said in the real sense of it, you can't give God anything. In the real sense of it, you can't. He said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. If I needed a house, I would build it. Look, people say, God eats praise. Well, I understand what you're trying to say. If he really ate praise, he wouldn't tell you to praise him. Because if they were hungry, he doesn't tell people. He can create 100 billion mouths that will say do nothing but praise, morning till night. How many human beings are there talking about praise? There are multitudes of angels that have been praising for eternity. Do you follow my point? Anything God commands you to do, listen to this, is for your own benefit. Listen, let me say clearly. I won't explain it in details, but just hear it clearly. Anything that God commands you to do is for your benefit. It is never for his benefit. Never, ever. God doesn't get better. If he says, praise the Lord, it means that it is good. That's why the Bible says that praise is comely on you. That praise is good. That is, the praising you are praising God is not good for God, it's good for you. Give thanks to the Lord. That thanksgiving is good for you. It's not good for God. The whole concept of the personality of God means that nothing makes him better, nothing makes him worse. You can't make his life better. You can't sing enough praise to make him feel gooder. You know what I'm saying? He can't feel more good than he's currently feeling. Anything that the Bible describes about his, God got angry and he was sad and all of that and he repented him, it's what Pastor Chris will tell you is called anthropopathism. You like the English? You like it, say amen. You're not sure. Actually, it's a standard theological terminology, all right? But Pastor Chris, the one that's Okoti, the one that popularized those words, anthropomorphism and anthropopathism. What does it mean? That when we use the characteristics of human beings, emotional characteristics of human beings, to explain the character of God, that's anthropopathism, all right? And morphism is when it's the structure, the hand of God, all right? The feet of God. Those things are supposed to describe. You want to describe God using his the outward forms of human beings. Is that okay? Now, I'm not trying to explain something that in reality, God doesn't change. So really, in reality, you really can't give to God per se. The only thing you can give, it appears like, let's say give now to God, is obedience. We've said that. In reality, the only thing you can give to God is obedience. In fact, somebody quoted Avanzini, I heard it, and said that the only thing that's called a sacrifice, all right, is that God asks for it. You can't give God an offering that doesn't ask for. No, really. That's a matter of fact. And that's why we're doing this series. He said, watch your steps when you draw near to the temple of God. He said, draw near to listen rather than to offer what? The sacrifice of fools. That is, I said, the fools don't even know that they are in error. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. That they don't even know they are in error. That is, they come to do things thinking that is the right way to do it, not knowing that God has a specific order. And the first thing that you must learn when you come to offer to God is, God, what exactly do you want? I like to say it this way, God doesn't like surprises. It's his birthday, let's plot a surprise for him, not God. You can do that to your wife, to your husband, and you young men, do that to a young woman that God is speaking to you about. Should plot a surprise. You know, that kind of thing. It's good, but God, when you reach God, don't even try it at all. You must find out what he really wants. What does he really delight in? Like Samuel said to Saul, has God as much delight in sacrifices and burnt offerings as he does in what? Obedience to his word. Anything he tells you to do, that's a real gift to God. Do it. Don't add to it. Don't remove from it. That's why I've been learning the order of God, all these things that we have been teaching all these days. It's trying to get God's order. Dear Father, what exactly do you want us to do? How do you want us to do it? What am I saying? How do I give money to God? This is the primary way. The primary way is simple. Learn exactly how he wants you to handle your money. Do it like that all the time. And every time you do it, you are giving to God. That's the general principle. Bear that one in mind first. I've already explained that one, there's seed for the sower and bread for food in your money. Seed for the sower, we have already divided it into what? Spiritual seed and physical seed. Now, because of, if you look at the context in which we are speaking and then the contemporary issues that we have to deal with, what I want to talk about now, therefore, is what is that spiritual seed? That's what we generally call giving to God. Are you getting what I'm explaining? I've already given us the background of the general fact that you really can't give anything to God. And having left that, you say, okay, what can we really give anything to God? Well, the main thing that God asks from anybody, only one thing. He said, what has God asked from you, oh man, other than the fact that you should obey his words? That's all. The only thing that God has asked from you is, son, give me your heart. Obey my words. Anything I say, obey to the letter. Everything. Don't do more than it. If I say, carry my ark on the shoulder of priests, carry the ark on the shoulders of priests. Don't build a new cart like David, trying to impress God. God doesn't like surprises. We've established that. And we say, okay, this is God's general order for our money. We're talking about your money. Spiritual seed and physical seed. Now we're narrowing it down. Generally, when we say, let us give to God, what we are saying is, how do I sow my what? Spiritual seed. Let's talk about that now. Amen. Now, that's what I really want to talk about, and I believe all of us will be blessed by it. Now, before I go into it, please, let me say something else. Walking with God is a walk. What did I say? It's a walk. It's not an impulse. Do you get my point? Listen, Christians must learn to cultivate a habit. Do you follow? Yes, you must learn. That's what I'm trying to get us to understand. Talk about this money issue. You shouldn't have a habit for how you spend your money or how you apportion your money. You must have it. That way, you will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. One day, a man walked up to me, wanted to do something very... Now, get my point. This is not a bad thing that he wanted to do. It's a good thing. All right, I won't go into details about it. So he wanted me to participate. He said, please, I would like you to contribute to what we are doing. I want you to give half of your income towards it. And I said, you see, for some of us, we don't even see that half. If I gave you half, I said, you leave me with nothing. Do you get my point? I said, before you arrived, half of my income had gone. So I have to take it from somebody to give to you. Either I give to myself, I take it from myself. I'm not, I get my point. The best I could do for him, if I had to do under such circumstances, is to take the half that is left and cut it into two again. Do you understand? Now, actually, very easy to do if you're a single man. You know what I like about the widow of Zarephath and the kindness of God? She had enough meals for how many people? How many people she did give to? One, the louder one also has son. That is, if I want to take the risk, I take it alone. My son will eat, the prophet will eat. Let me see whether I will die. No, what I want to say is that that's why, listen, as a young person, do all the crazy things you want to do for God now. I'm telling you, as a single man, as a single woman, go for a crusade, morning, afternoon, and night, don't come back home, it's good. That is the time to do it. Do you understand my point? That is some of the crazy things you need to do for God, do it while you are a single man. It's very important. Now, I'm bringing out an issue. So when the brother said it like that, I just told him simply that it's going to be difficult for me. Now, for those who normally have all their income in their pockets, you can make the demand. But for me, you walk up to me, make that demand, I have to deny somebody else to answer you. I already have a habit. Now, get what I'm saying. I'm talking about cultivating a habit which must be based upon God's order. If you have a habit, it is difficult to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Now, that habit, I'm not saying it's hard and fast, it must never change. You are going to change in life, all right? You're going to get better. Things, I mean, let me give a practical example. Kingdom World Ministries, when it started, as a family, between my wife and I, we contributed 99% of every money spent. Do you understand the point? Then that's a matter of fact. And I say 99 because occasionally maybe somebody gives you, for printing of tracks, give you 1,000 naira here, 2,000 naira there, but we are spending money in tens of thousands. And that 1 or 2,000 comes far in between. But that was just for the first phase. As of today, I don't think that's as a family now, just as a family. There's a reason why I qualified that. What we give to Kingdom World does not cross 10% of the expenses of Kingdom World Ministries as of today. Now, you know why? It's simple. Kingdom World expenditure has grown, but so also have the people that give towards it and the amount they give towards it. People still give us 10 naira, 20 naira, 50 naira, 100 naira, 1,000 naira, 10,000 naira, but then people also give 100,000 naira and 1,000,000 naira. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? And there are businesses that contribute to it and then they also keep growing. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? So, you now see that I'm not going to explain the issue of people change. All right? You can, as you go on, the needs. Let me give you an example. Maybe you are a firstborn, you have four younger ones, and God has prospered you, you are helping them through school. You have a cousin or two you are helping. Then one day they graduate. Do you follow what I'm saying? You're free. Then that portion gets another assignment. That's what I mean by people change. But see, based on what I want to explain, it's important that every Christian has a giving habit. You don't have to be impulsive. Some people will, and I said that's how God allows some things to happen. Because some people, nothing go drop until serious preaching. When you do the serious preaching finish, then you make a demand. Then somebody will give heaven and earth for that one time. After that, he's back to square zero. If you are like that, hear it from me again. You've given nothing, you get no reward. Nothing. What you can't continue, don't start. People do that kind of epileptic giving. It's not right. Today, somebody winds you with a very powerful message and you will give your head, your leg, your shoulders, your nose, your eyes, everything. Then after a week or two, you are still trying to recover from the last experience of giving everything that you have. So next time they talk about giving, say, take your dime. Not even try. No, Pastor, don't even go near that one. You see? The last one you did, you didn't get any reward. Take it from me. You didn't get nothing. And you're not going to get anything. The man that gets a reward cultivates a habit. He's willing to do it again even though he gets nothing. Please, guess what I'm saying? It's so important you get that into your head. The center of your heart doesn't shift. Even though you get nothing, you're willing to do it again. Let me ask you a question. What has my son ever given me materially? Think about it. Nothing. The greatest reward I get from those kids is give me that smile that shows you are healthy. If you want to torture me, run a fever. Don't smile. Don't eat. Stool more than 3 times in a day. Vomit once in between. Okwari. I start praying. I will lay hands there. Your head will peel. If you want me to relax, just smile. Eat. Stool normal one, twice a day for a child. Sleep properly. Smile. Don't run a fever. You know? Just be happy. I get my reward from seeing your progress as my son, as my daughter. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Therefore, do I get nothing? I keep doing it. They keep growing. Their demands increase. You now, you know, as they begin to grow suddenly, you have to pay more fees. And you know, when children are growing, the clothes change rapidly. I'm so happy for the way God arranged my children. I have three boys, so just keep buying clothes for the first boy. You know? And all other things are added to the other ones. Today I saw my smallest boy, he's a year old. I saw him wearing a pair of rubber sandals. And I laughed. I said, ah, see to Kumbo shoe, fairly used. Who used him? His oldest brother. I said, this thing still there here. Ah, we bless God. Now, but you get what I'm trying to explain. But I keep spending on them. I keep spending on them. Because they are my children. Is that okay? Uh-huh. In the same manner, I want Christian. That's how you must cultivate the giving habit. You keep doing good. You're not looking for one quick reward. Let me tell you the kind of reward that you get for doing good that really makes you a prosperous person before God. I want to give you a testimony of something that happened a few days ago. On Thursday, today's what? Yes, on Thursday, Amara of Win Africa was in my house and she and the Jose in Africa were about to leave the house. And Amara said, ah, sir, have you dropped the CD for Cosmo for that program for that night? That was when it hit me that I hadn't. He wasn't ready. The message had been preached. He had not been edited for radio. So we had 1 hour to go. So I ran upstairs. But she was saying, I ran upstairs to the study. Told them, please wait. Because you have me drop the CD. I quickly, cut a long story. Let me cut a long story short. They were burning the CD in the cars. They were going at this. Somebody held the computer. That one was driving. The CD was burning as they were driving. He finished burning just before they got to Cosmo. Pulled out the CD and ran down to Cosmo. Gave them the CD and the guys took it. If you noticed on Thursday, the broadcast started about 2-3 minutes late. Yes, it's because the CD was just getting there. I was calling him. Have you given them? Because when it was 7:30, I said, ah, they never start. You don't give them the CD. Okay. He said they were soon playing. So once they started playing it, because I had my phone on. I was listening on the phone radio. Cut the long story short, it was under intense pressure. We gave them the broadcast for the day. Then later that night, I got the text message. I don't think I've deleted it. Say, Pastor, God bless you. I don't know the person. I don't have that number on my phone. The person didn't put his or her name. He said, God bless you. Today's message was for me. I came back from work crying. I've been crying since I came back from work. Said, this message wiped away my tears. I said, God, thank you very much. That message was worth it. The hassle was worth it. Are you getting my point? The harassment was worth it. For me, was it that now God now say, hey, Banky, here is $15,000 or $1,000 for that message? No. It's just that I knew that I did not labor in vain. Do you get my point? When Paul was shouting on the Galatians, he was concerned that should I have labored over you in vain? That is, now you have departed from the true gospel and you have followed another gospel. That was his issue. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain there. So that is what really makes you a prosperous person. When you are ready, listen, to just do good and derive satisfaction in the doing of that good. And when you are like that, it's easy to plot a constant giving life. Do you follow my point? Yes, constantly. You're constantly doing it. Apportioning seed to the sower and bread for food. All the time, you are constantly doing it. And that way you don't get tired. You don't get weary. I will not get tired of spending money on my child. I won't. God forbid this will never happen. Even though somebody told me that he will only live for 10 years, he will keep on going to school. I don't know whether you get my point. He will go to school daily. I will pay the same fees. That's how you listen. If you listen to me, I said on that Thursday, I talked about daily obeying God. Doing something daily. We have a CD here. Please, if you don't have a copy, get it. Occupy daily. I say like that, this I illustrated that. If somebody told me, listen, Pastor Banky, Jesus appeared to me last night, I said I should tell you that he likes you very much, so he wants you to know ahead of time that January 16th, 2009, he's going to come back. Do you think I will stop everything I'm doing now? No, I won't. The plans for Christmas will continue as usual. The people I want to honor end of the year, I honor them as usual. The messages I plan to preach between now and then, I preach them as usual. Life continues. If I'm supposed to collect salary end of November, end of December, you must still pay it. I don't care that Jesus is coming on the 16th. What about the plans you had for tomorrow? That's why you don't know me. That's why you're asking. I am more like that. I have learned to serve God daily. I don't have any money. I'm saving somewhere for tomorrow. That suddenly I'm not saying God is coming. Jesus is coming on the 16th. So let us not start eating it. So as to grow fat before the 16th or what? Let us start giving it. It won't get any reward in heaven. Because the motive is very, very wrong. You are getting what I'm going to explain. This is where I say it. Anything that I would change, if Jesus were to give me an authentic information that is coming back shortly, then I might as well change it now. Do you get my point? We say, I'll go quickly go and confess all my sins and do nothing wrong. Better confess the sins now and do nothing wrong. Because the coming of the Lord is not general for everybody. There are different types of coming of the Lord. There's a coming of the Lord in which you are the one that comes to meet the Lord. Do you know my point? Yes. You just die one day, yes. And there's no warning. You are getting what I'm not explaining. I'm emphasizing the fact that Christians must cultivate that everything as a habit. A good culture. A good monetary policy. Yeah, that's a good one. How you handle money. And it must be based, like I said before, on faith. Don't forget, it must be based on what? On faith. You must build it according to the authenticity of God's word. That what God says will come to pass, will come to pass. If he says that your bread will never fail, believe it. Believe it. Believe it. I believe it totally. I understand that the path of the just is like the light of dawn. I say it all the time. I'm only getting better. I'm only getting richer. The days of earning 6,000 naira a month. Somebody said, come and start giving us 500 naira a month so that in 15 years time, we'll give you 200,000. I say, you didn't say I decrease. It is not as if the insurance policy he had was bad. It's just that I couldn't imagine that in 15 years time, 200,000 naira would be big money that I would be impressed by. And I thank God, it is not yet 15 years. In fact, how can you impress me 200,000 naira now? Cosmo chops out from us every 2 months. You see, it's not... Do you follow what I'm going to say? Like I told you from the beginning of next year, all right, that will be our monthly broadcast bill. It can't shake my head anymore. You are getting the point I'm trying to explain. That's what I mean by faith. I understood then that he said Isaiah chapter 66 to me, verse 12. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I believe it. So when I make my projections, like people say that, look, land in this place. When I first came to Enugu, this land was going for 17,000 naira. I didn't buy. Now it's 6.5 million. You know what I always tell such people? Relax. There's another land that's currently going for 17,000 naira, which in 15 years' time, it will also be 6.5 million. So they say, it is good to buy. I say, listen, when the land was 17,000 naira, maybe I didn't have money. I didn't have 17,000. But when it will become 15 million, whatever it will be, then I will have 100 million to pay for it. That's what I mean by not worrying about tomorrow. I believe it totally. I believe it totally. Based on faith. It must be based on faith. So bear that one in mind. So now let me just now go into that in details. Talking about this, how to sow spiritual seeds, which is actually what we refer to when we are saying how do we give to God. So having explained the fact that we are trying to cultivate a habit, all right? It's a habit we are trying to cultivate. Now so that's what I want to say. Now how do I give to God? I'll run through about 6 methods. As I go on, if any other new one comes up, we'll add to it. So let me just run through it and give you the different methods so that I'll be under. I'll be forced to go through, explain all of them one by one. Number one, you will give to the work of the ministry. Number two, giving to ministers of the work. Number three, every other person you're supposed to honor. There's a reason, because two and three are very similar. I said one, the work of the ministry. Number two, ministers of the gospel. Number three, people that you are supposed to honor. Number one amongst them, your parents. Then number four, the needy. You give to the needy. Then number five, again, four and five are similar to each other. But I will separate it because of discussion I want to have. Widows of your household. Now put that widows in quotes. I started explaining it last time. That is, quote it, widows of your household. All right? Then number six, that's the last I have for now. This will surprise you. Number six, yourself. You say, what are you saying? Just bear that one in mind. I've given you six different ways, all right? Work of the ministries, ministry, that's the expansion of the gospel of God. The ministers of the work, that's what we've already discussed a bit about that when we're talking about the prophet's reward. Is that okay? Then number three, I said there are people that God commands you must honor. And when you obey that commandment, it's a spiritual seed you are giving to God, like we say. Then number four, the needy. When I say needy now, people are just in need, that's all. You know what I mean? Somebody just needs something, you know? And later on, I'll talk about that. There's even a way you give to beggars. There are principles behind giving. You don't just give. Yes, if God allows us time today, I will discuss what to give to who. Because of all these things I've listed, there are different things to give to different people. Is that okay? All right. Now, so the needy, including giving to beggars. Beggars, you give crumbs to beggars. You don't give substance to beggars. You give what? Crumbs. Crumbs. All right? I will explain the principle, what I mean by crumbs. Simply, crumbs just means that pocket change. Because you have not been ordained to change a beggar's life. Listen to me. You have not. Nobody has been ordained financially to change a beggar's life. What God does to a beggar first is to change his mindset. When his mind has been changed away from that of being a beggar, then you can work with God to change his life financially. Because no matter how much you give to a beggar, he's not leaving the road. Write him a check for 1 million naira. Next day, he will disappointingly show up there. That is, you'll be so disappointed. Thinking, but I gave this man money yesterday. That's a mistake you made. He's not planning to leave the place. Why? Because it's a profession. Give me 1 million naira, I won't stop being a preacher. In the same manner, that's his job. He won't stop the job just because you gave him money. His job is begging. Therefore, you don't give him the same substance you give to a man who labors. You don't. Do you get my point? I have a rule. It's my personal rule. As of Nigeria of today, the maximum a beggar can get out of my pocket is 20 bucks. Listen, that's the maximum. As a rule, you know, there are exceptions. As a rule, you will not draw more than 20 bucks out of my pocket. In fact, currently I have a practice of keeping plenty of it in the car. Tens and twenties. He doesn't expect more than that from you. How do I know? Read the story of Lazarus, who laid at the rich man's gate, waiting for crumbs that will fall from the master. Yeah, you get what I'm saying? You don't want something to fall from that rich man's table, and he will be content. Why? Because he's a beggar. What is crumbs? In Nigeria of today, 10 naira is crumbs, 5 bucks is crumbs, depending on how rich you are. There are people that maybe 1,000 bucks is crumbs for them. For me, man, 1,000 bucks is not crumbs yet. One day to be crumbs. I mean, if it's your crumb level, the Lord bless you. You are going to have some rich beggars around you. But for me, that ain't my crumb level yet. But you understand the principle. Because you are not going to change the man's life. You're not going to change the woman's life, no matter how much you give. And this is my practice. You know, in the society, people walk up to you. Good morning, sir. You see, as I was leaving my house this morning, I had my bag in my hand, though. As I was just coming out, some boys just slapped me for face, slapping my bag, and then they just snatched the bag. Uh-huh. So I'm standing here now. I don't know where to go. You know the way I like to do this these days? I don't like wasting time. I say, summarize. How much? That's how I do my summarize. I just need money to go from here. When I said, excuse me, please, what's the summary? 200 naira, sir. Good. So I dip my hand in my pocket and give you 200 bucks. What if he's lying? That, you can only catch me once. This has happened to me before. A woman showed up. Me and my daughter, we came to hospital. That was in UNTH, in the hospital. My friend and I were standing there. We came from Abakaliki. The medicine they said was not so much. We have finished spending all the money. We want to go back home now. How much is from here to Abakaliki? Then I think it was 300 naira for two people. This was a few years ago. So my friend and I contributed 300 naira and gave to them and said bye-bye to Abakaliki. Except that a few weeks later, I went to the post office. And there she was with the same daughter, with the same story, with the same destination. Abakaliki. I said, madam, this Abakaliki that you seem to come from every day. Do I stop giving to her? Before, yes, I would. I used to be quite wicked. You know what I mean? I didn't have enough understanding. So these days, no, I don't stop. I just downgrade you. That's all. 300 bucks you won't get from me again. Next time, if you tell the story, 20 bucks for you, 20 bucks for your daughter. Bye-bye. No, that's the rule. That's how I do it. Somebody walks up to me, telling the story, he said a long story. What if the guy is telling the truth?